take a closer look, shall we say, of the wind turbine campaign program that's being proposed for the state?
There's quite a few companies vying to build some offshore wind facilities off of South Jersey and up off of North Jersey as well. Bowen has already issued lease areas, 25-year lease areas. Two of those are off of South Jersey. They're combined about 350,000 acres, stretching from basically LDI down to Cape May Inlet. I think what's important from just a fishery standpoint is to put climate change, renewable energy, politics all to the side. Okay, let's just look at this strictly from a fisheries impact standpoint. And when you ask the developers, how is this going to impact fisheries? How is it going to impact summer flounder migrations? How is it going to impact essential fish habitat? How is it going to impact our ability to fish around these areas that we fish for years and years? The answer is no. They
don't have an answer, right?
No. Yeah. They do not have an answer right now.
Yeah.
The second thing that's really important here is that we do have some literature from overseas. Now, overseas up in the North Sea, up by Denmark, they've vastly developed their coastal waters with offshore wind facilities. So we do have a pretty good indication of how it's going to impact fisheries. So when we looked at some of those studies, in fact, we looked at a lot of those studies, we definitely found, or the researchers definitely found, that certain species, particularly they pointed out American cod, American eel, and flatfish, flounder species, all have a negative correlation to the transmission lines. So what that means, and going back to what I talked about these lease areas, just looking at a summer flounder standpoint, that is by far our most important recreational fishery in New Jersey. It's what drives our coastal fisheries businesses. It's innately tied into our tourism business. I mean, fluke is really king in our state. So if we know these transmission lines have an impact on flounder species, and if we know the transmission line possibly is going to go from Forked River Generating Station, and then we have lease areas that go all the way down to Cape May Inlet, essentially what they've created is a barrier that could potentially stop summer flounder moving. In the wintertime, they move offshore to spawn, and in the summertime, they move back inshore into our bays, estuaries, and that's where all the livery boats, and that's where all the charter boats, and guys like the Duke of Fluke, the Keeper, those guys fish for summer flounder because they come back into our waters. If we build a barrier, or if the offshore wind developers get their way and build a barrier, we could disrupt that. And it wouldn't take a lot for these fish to say, whoa, that's weird, I'm not going that way. They veer up to North Jersey, or they veer up to Long Island, and they completely miss South Jersey.
Amazing.
Now, this is not being alarmist. I mean, this is just looking at the literature, knowing how summer flounder moves seasonally, and it's a very real concern. So, like I said, putting all politics, all the other stuff aside, from a fisheries impact, this is significant, really, really significant. And just for that reason alone, we have to say, slow down. We should not allow you to build these things until you have 5-6 years of baseline data and really understand what's going to happen to our summer flounder migrations. Because if we lose that in South Jersey, it's going to be a massive, massive economic, social, and just a traditional crush on us. And we cannot support it.
It sounds like they're rushing into something without much research.
Well, that's exactly it. There is federal and state tax credits and ratepayer subsidies that are being dangled in front of these guys. I mean, like I said, this is being driven right now by politics, not by science. They are jumping over critical steps. They are not getting really essential information on how this is going to impact our fishermen in the state, because they're just rushing to get that money, which is going to expire at the end of the year.
We have to build these to find out how they're going to impact you. By that one statement alone, that just says right there that they don't have a clue as to how this is going to affect fishing industry as a whole, and they don't care.
You know, they do have a clue, just as John talked about. We also have the Rhode Island project and a lot of data from there. It's just, number one, that they don't care, and then they're talking about 1,000 jobs to replace the 1,000 jobs lost in the fishery.
That would be more than 1,000.
But it's not just jobs. It's
jobs replaced there.
Pardon?
There's going to be more than 1,000 jobs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
all the ancillaries to go along, too. It's all It's all the mom and pop coffee shops and all the mom and pop donut shops and sandwich shops
and the one mom and pop boat rental.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, we have one left on Upseekin Island.
Yeah, I'm here.
So they have a clue, but yes, okay, they have a clue. They don't care. It's politics driven, and the other thing that's bad about this too is that all the companies that are doing this, they're all foreign companies trying to get our tax incentives and our tax dollars.
Yeah.
So we're paying for this to have them actually build these things and put us out of business.
My understanding is our energy bills will go up. Is that correct?
The cost of putting them in, from what I understand, the cost of putting them in and the cost benefit for the consumer is not that good as of now. So if the cost is very high, it's going to make our rates go up. Why are we paying for it then?
This is John again from the RFA. The analysis I've seen from BPU is that they estimate that average electric rate for just the subsidies will go up on average $31 to $41 per year. And then in turn, they're also getting credits to sell that energy back to us at an above market rate. So it's a double hit.
And,
you know, I kind of laugh when people say, yeah, what's $41 a year? And it's like, well, I'll give you $41 a year. I mean, think how many artificial reefs I could build if every single fisherman in the state of New Jersey gave me $40, you know, per year.
Yep.
Or how much work I could do in stock assessment. I mean, so this idea that it's a trivial increase is simply not true. It's one less trip on a party boat. It's one less day renting a boat with the family, one less day on the water. I mean, $41 has a real impact on people.
Yeah. Now, to add on too, they're not just going to build five windmills. They're going to build a forest off of Jersey here. They're talking over 500.
It astounds me.
Staten A up to Sandy Hook area, 500 windmills. I mean, that's a forest in my book.
It's a city in the ocean, for crying out loud. It's a breeze. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's it going to look like? And the effects, it have to be, you know, it has to have some detrimental, these really detrimental effect on the marine life. Just has to. Don't we have like a lot of scallop beds off here that are in that range? And wouldn't that hurt the commercial guys?
Well, their comment was at the last meeting was all the scallop boats can go further offshore.
Okay.
That was their comment.
So basically they can go literally pound sand, right? Yeah.
Correct. Correct. They don't care at that point in time.
They can go off England. You know, they can get
sure.
Go, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you find it interesting that the companies involved with the windmills are all European and the European market is drying up? In fact, I just read where Germany has opened up their coal mines because the windmills aren't producing enough.
Yes.
Yes. But unfortunately, with some of the lunatics that we have over, and yes, I will go there. We do have a lot of lunatics now in Congress. And, you know, this new Green Deal is not exactly green for everybody.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So green means money rather than conservation. Is that what you're saying, Bob?
Absolutely. Green has always meant money. Follow the money chain.
Let's take this slow. Let's not rush. Let's not build these things. Find out there's a measurable detrimental impact to our fishing industry, and then have no recourse to take these things out. As Robin mentioned, you know, we actually have one operating wind farm in the U.S. right now. It's the Block Island Wind Farm, and it put five turbines up. It's been in operation since 2016. So a lot of people will point to this and say, you know, look how great this is. You know, you have these five windmills up Block Island. Fishing is great around them. And again, you know, you have to go back and look at the literature. Look what they're actually saying. And NOAA Fisheries, which is the federal agency charged with monitoring recreational catch, found that there was no increase in black sea bass catch around the Block Island wind farm and in the state of Rhode Island. Black sea bass, as we all know, is has a structure affinity. So if you're going to have any piece of structure out there, you're going to catch sea bass around it. That's just how they work. So to say that there's no increase in black sea bass catch in response to the construction of the Block Island wind farm really puzzles me, especially when we consider the stock of black sea bass itself is close to three times rebuilt, and it's moving northward. It's expanding in range at a rate we've never seen before. So there's way more black sea bass up in those waters than ever. And for us not to see any measurable increase in response to Block Island Wind Farm makes me wonder, why they're overselling this idea of great fishing opportunities. Hmm. Also, there was a paper that looked at the baseline, like pre-construction, during construction, and then during operation of the Block Island Wind Farm. And they clearly showed that there was no increase in summer flounder or other flounder species in that area as well. And again, I constantly hear this idea, Block Island is up and it's running and it's great and fishermen love it. And I said, that's great. I think maybe they're mesmerizing, maybe they're fun to look at, but let's just look at the numbers. Let's just go back, look at the peer-reviewed, published literature on this issue, and that there is absolutely no measurable benefit from a fisheries standpoint. Now, the other thing you have to understand, too, is everyone talks about access, right? So you kind of use this example of the Gulf of Mexico, where we have these oil platforms offshore, and they provide excellent fishing for, amberjacks, grouper, snapper, pelagics, all kinds of fish, right? We have no restrictions on recreational boats below 85 feet. So you can fish all around them, and it's great. So if you look at Block Island, again, this is our only example in the U.S. right now, all wind farms are going to have turbines, transmission lines that go from the turbines to a substation, transmission lines that go from that substation to a ground-based, shore-based facility. We already have restrictions around the substation. Now, that is already starting out much more restrictive than the Gulf of Mexico, where we have no restrictions. Once these things are built, they become what's called or classified as energy infrastructure. They're in federal waters, so they fall under the Department of Homeland Security. We have no guarantees that we're going to be allowed to fish around them. We already know we're not allowed to fish around the substation, so we're already losing bottom, and it's already more restrictive than the Gulf of Mexico. I think from a fisheries person, and from just our fishing industry standpoint, the idea that we're going to have access around these things is not guaranteed. But developers can provide absolutely no legally binding promises or guarantees that we're going to have access to these things. It's out of their hands. Okay. And for us to say, all right, we'll trust you, we'll believe you, we'll give up, 350,000 acres off of South Jersey. I say, all right, let's put that in a memorandum of understanding. We have it for the duration of the lease until these things are commissioned, but they cannot do that. So access is another really, really critical sticking point here. The Coast Guard will use the same set of regulations that apply to recreational fishermen fishing around the oil rigs. That'll probably also be in place for these wind turbines as well.
Yeah.
So in other words, John, are you saying that even though there's no guarantee or provision by the companies that will be able to fish around them, since we're in Homeland Security territory here, the Coast Guard will allow us to, but who would want to, because there's a 600-megawatt cable coming plugged into land from them. So is that what you're getting at, that we'll be able to fish around them if there are any fish left?
As it stands, and that's why I go back to the Gulf of Mexico, from what we understand right now, that the Coast Guard is prepared to implement the same regulations, excluding the substation. We're not going to have access to fishing around the substation. But around the turbines, yes, they're going to impose the same regulations that they have for the oil rigs, which I believe is recreational vessels below 85 feet they cannot tie up to it, so they can fish all around it.
Okay. I didn't know that one before. That's good. That was a good point.
Now, what about the cod embryos up off of Block Island? My understanding was the electromagnetic field killed about 50% of the cod embryos up there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even bring up cod just because I think the impacts or the potential impacts to summer flounder are just so in your face. But you're right. Cod, eels, all these species have been found to have negative impact associated with Block Island. And you're right. You're talking about a massive amount of lost recruitment there. So the long-term impacts from that facility, and this is only five right now, these are really small. They're about 1 megawatt. I think what the companies off of New Jersey are looking to put in are probably 10 if the technology allows maybe 12 megawatt turbines. I mean, so the scale is going to be massively bigger in New Jersey than what we saw up in Block Island. And Block Island, even with that small pilot scale, is already having, as you mentioned, measurable, quantifiable impacts on some of the region's most traditionally important species, like cod.
Hi, Shep Talking Fishing on Air, back here in News Talk 1400 WOND. The number here is 927-1100. Anybody wants to join in? Victor from Linwood, you want to chime in?
Unite together. How do we unite together to try and get this windmill situation shut down, this plan? I mean, not even try, just do it. Let's get this shut down. I understand. We basically have no fishing inshore from beach replenishment. We got to go further offshore to catch fish, and now we're being threatened by this. What do we do? I mean, let's not complain about it. Let's do something about it.
Well, let me make a pitch on behalf of the RFA. I guess one of the things you can do is join the RFA.
You know, these companies that want to build off our coast, I mean, they're for-profit companies. I mean, they're looking at dollars and cents. That's why they're chasing these tax credits and subsidies, as Bob mentioned. BPU, the Board of Public Utilities, is currently in a comment period deciding if they should issue these tax or these ratepayer subsidies to these developers. They're going to make a decision some point in July. And I can tell you this, if enough people, enough fishermen, if enough fishing businesses weigh in, we could possibly deter them from issuing these ratepayer subsidies to developers. And I'll tell you what, if they don't get those subsidies, they're going to get out of here. Because it's
great
not
point. How do we do that?
Well, I said there's an open comment period right now through the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. I believe they're going to be giving or holding more public comment hearings as well, where people can just show up and testify against these things if they want to. They can also submit letters. I don't have that information in front of me right now. But, like, if you want, I can send that to you.
We'll put it out next week. That'd be that's a great, great idea. All right,
there is an avenue for
the public to pursue.
We need to jam this down our politicians' throats where they just shut this down, because this is ridiculous.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about people's livelihood.
Very good. All right, well, good. I'll get that stuff out. If you can send it to me, John, I'll make sure to put it on next week.
Okay.
Great. Hey,
good. Yeah, Bob, what's up?
You got to contact every politician that's in your home area. You got to contact the governor. You got to send and make phone calls to everybody and anybody that you can. If they don't want to listen to you, they have to listen to you. Okay, send a letter in. They got to respond to you. They are required to respond to you. Our federal senators in our state, they're a waste of time. Sometimes you call them, you don't even get an answer at their office. But you got to be persistent. You got to call.
Okay.
You know, this is us. This is our area. It's our livelihood. You know, our livestock. You know, we got to make a phone call. You got to send letters. You just got to call.
Got to get motivated, right?
Bottom line.
I know.
Yeah.
Seems all right. Very good. Good point. Good points, both you guys. It was.
Can you hear me?
Got a caller asked a question. We had two good answers. So that's a deal. Thank you. I
can tell you firsthand, because I've written to those guys that a couple of them have come back and said, "Well, you're the first one we've heard from, or we don't hear from very many," and that's the problem.
I bet you if the topic of the meeting had been giving South Jersey two early months of opening the flounder season and taking it off of the end of North Jersey, that place would have been packed, don't you think? They're not interested in wind farms.
That absolutely would have been.
Yep.
They're not. They don't have the wind farms in front of them as of yet, because the people are just starting to hear the impact on it. And until they actually feel the impact, people are slow to make phone calls and odds and ends of that. Unfortunately, some of the loudest voices are us who are actually in the industry right now, because we do know what the impact's going to be, and it's up to us to get all the word out and start, you know, getting the uproar going and saying, hey, this is not going to be good for us. This has got to stop.
Well, and unfortunately, the science has been used on a federal level against the New Jersey flounder fishery for so long, people are turning a deaf ear to it. In this case, as the document that John presented, the science is on our side and can be used effectively to keep the fishery going.
So use the science as the point.
Here's a good analogy for you. Our fisheries management system is broken, just like the immigration system, just like every other system that's in our federal government.
You're right about that.
Yep.
Got total agreement here, my brother. The more I thought about that, I went, wow, you've got to get some people on that state Marine Fisheries Council.
But you need the governor to approve the appointees, and he could care less about fishing.
I was amazed.
They can care less about fishing, Bill, but they want the money from all the tax dollars that all the fishing industry generates.
I understand that, but they're not doing anything. He has no interest in improving the fishing conditions in New Jersey. I think he said that when he was running for election.
That's right. We appealed to him, and he did. He ignored us.
Really? Yeah.
Remember?
He
ignored you, Mike.
He did say he wanted to make Jersey the California of the East Coast. Everybody sees how well things are working out in California.
Yeah, right.
They're
right.
All coming here. I lived out there. I see why. Love this, John. And you may or may not be aware of it, but Margate actually just removed the last public access fishing pier from availability to the public. Margate officially has zero place that you can toss a line off.
Amazing.
From land. The other thing, though, that I keep coming back to, because Bill has trained me well at this point, and Tom Smith, during the advisory panel webinar that we had a couple weeks ago for the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, said it, and he went through all the science, and then he came right back down to, as the lengths of flounder, it is all sex-specific and driven. As the lengths of flounder have been raised, up until they got to be 17 inches where they, stopped growing, and then 17 and a half, they flatlined, and then, or whatever, and 18, they started going down. Tom Smith, after citing the science, said, so why are we not going back to the lengths of flounder that cause the stocks to grow? And, there's all kinds of different things going on. We know this with the allotments and commercial and recreational. But when you get down to it, it's leaving the female breeders alone and taking the smaller ones that would be mortality fish, thrown back dead anyhow, gone to the bottom and eaten, so that we can have healthy stocks and keep growing them. That's aside from the wind farms. I mean, that's a whole different thing that's going to kill them.